Episode 1127, Dune Part 2 Preview. Review.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ed Anderson.
I am Randy Bono. I've been to the mountaintop, and I come back with good news.
Oh, really? So, tell everybody what you're even talking about.
So, as we're recording this on
February 26th,
yes,
2024.
Which is 4 days before Dune Part 2 is released, but there was, in IMAX theaters last night, there was a special fan screening, which I attended. I invited you.
You did. You couldn't make it work.
You did not attend. So I have seen Dune Part 2, and it is magnificent.
Really?
It is. It's pretty spectacular.
Is it better than Part 1, or are they just one entity to you now?
It's one end. It's a little bit. It really is one. And I was thinking about this even as I was watching it last night. It's 1 5-hour movie, mm-hmm. essentially. The closest comparison is Lord of the Rings, you know, where like there's been other part ones, part twos, you know, Back to the Future.
You're saying close comparison in the sense of it's sort of hard to like make any of those Lord of the Rings movies individuals. You sort of just rank them together.
Yeah. Like, you know, we can debate the relative merits of Return of the King versus Fellowship versus Two Towers. And that's fine. And I have preferences. But really, nobody's just like, oh, I only like the Two Towers. I mean, I'm sure there's that person exists, but it's one long, mm-hmm. you know, 10-hour movie. And Dune is very, very similar. Now, as we go through this conversation, I'll defer to you for how much you actually want me to describe how they do things. You know, there's no spoilers for you or other people who've read the books in terms of the plot. The plot is the plot. But I will say, this movie really sets up Messiah.
Really?
Like, it almost insists upon it.
Do we know that that's happening? Is that a done deal?
It's, you know, I've heard conflicting reports about how officially greenlit it is. Villeneuve has said he's finished or nearly finished the script. He wants to do it. He's talked about maybe doing Rendezvous with Rama, the Arthur C. Clarke novel next, which would make sense because you have the time gap in there. But this, there's some subtle changes, not to what happens in terms of plot at the end, really, but in terms of what is emphasized with it, and a couple of other things that really lean heavily into Messiah coming next.
Wow. That's exciting.
It is.
I hope we don't have to wait too long. I know there's a time difference in the book, and they'd have to figure out how to make that happen on film, but you hate to wait.
And well, there's one thing in particular that makes me think that they probably will not wait that long.
You're saying, you don't have successful. To spoil us, but you're saying they're going to tell the story and not have the time difference.
No, I think there will be a time gap.
That's okay. But don't spoil us here.
Okay. I won't spoil you, but there's one significant thing that, based on how they do something else in this movie, that makes me think Messiah might be coming sooner rather than later.
So I don't have exact plans to see it, although I'll definitely see it. I don't know when, but because we're taking next week off, I guess my goal is to have it, I'll have it watched
two weeks
from now, and then we can review it with spoilers.
Aren't you just chomping at the bit, though, to see it?
Oh, I'm definitely interested. It's just time is crazy right now.
I understand.
So, yeah, we'll see.
I understand. You know, it's a long movie, but see it in IMAX if you can. You do want to see this, you and everyone else. You do not want to wait to see this at home. You want to see this, the big screen. I mean, it is. There are, you know, and I think the first movie was like that too, but this even more so. You ask, like, which one's better? I mean, that's going to, you know, it's hard to say. Coming off the high of this movie, it feels great, but certainly this movie is bigger.
Okay.
You know, the moments, and these aren't spoilers for anything, and I won't go into detail in case people are curious about it, but like the moments that really stood out to me as like awe-inducing are...
Are you going to spoil? Because some people may not have read the book.
I'm going to spoil the plot.
Let's do post-music. This could be the spoiler-free part, And then after the music.
Well, the spoiler free, I'm assuming if you got this far, you've seen Dune. You want to watch Dune.
Oh, you're saying you're going to spoil part one.
Yeah, I'll spoil part one, but I don't want to spoil, like, for you. I think you're my intended audience here.
But I've read the whole series.
There might be somebody
listening who's only seen part one.
So, okay, so we can talk about that a little bit, but then there's some things I want to talk about for somebody like you who's read the book. But
so should we exit the spoiler-free part?
Let's exit the spoiler-free part.
I'll say one last thing. I had asked you off the air, would you recommend to me, Ben, that I watch part one just as a refresher? Because I've read the book twice. I've seen the movie twice, part one.
You should.
And you said yes.
Yeah, I watched it the night before.
Okay.
And I felt like that was beneficial.
Okay, listeners, we're now exiting the spoiler-free part and entering something that could spoil the Dune series.
Yeah, so I'll put everybody in your hands. So a plot, I won't spoil anything beyond the first book in terms of plot, but the plot of book one, which matches the plot of the movie, is on the table. What I'll leave to you is how much you want me to talk about how they did stuff.
We'll talk. I feel like we don't need to get too in the weeds tonight because I'll see the movie and then we can discuss it.
But the two sequences I was mentioning that are just awe-inducing.
I'm guessing riding the sandworm.
It is incredible, especially and it's hard to fault it because the technology at the time, but that sequence is not great in the David Lynch version or the sci-fi miniseries. That sequence is just breathtaking. And then the Battle of Arrakeen, especially when they use the atomics on the shield wall. That scene is stunning.
I think I just figured out this is actually a spoiler for this movie, but I think I just figured out what they set up for Dune Messiah.
What do you think they set up for Dune Messiah?
I don't want to do it now. Unless, let's go all the way to the end.
All right.
Let me just write this down. Can you hand me that post-it note?
Yes.
I usually take notes while we're talking. And
you need a pen.
Because it's a spoiler for the books, not just
the
movie.
And I'll say whatever you're thinking of is probably not correct. It's really more of an emphasis on that. And it's more tonal than anything else in that as you get to the end of the movie, you know how there is if you just read Dune, of course, there's talk about the premonitions of the jihad. And so, you know, a more careful reading or even not a super careful reading, but a moderate reading, you're going to come away realizing that Paul's victory is a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were reading it casually or your first time reader, just reading it as a straight adventure story, you could come away that Paul won. This movie tonally really drives home the idea that Paul has unleashed something at the end of this movie.
Listeners, wait, how far? I should have said this at the beginning, but whatever. It's all right. If you are listening to this and you love Dune, but for some reason you're not subscribed to our Patreon feed, we did a deep dive on every single Dune book over the last 2 or 3 years. So you just have to go to patreon.com/thescificristian. There you can find our whole backlog and it's in the extra feed, which is only $3 a month.
Only $3.
If you want to do an uncensored level, that's a little bit more. But if you just want the Dune material, $3 a month, and you can get everything.
It's a great deal.
Dune book, a deep dive.
Yes.
We're talking, is it chapter by chapter, or how did you do it?
Yeah, chapter by chapter.
Maybe we would talk about multiple chapters.
Yeah, multiple chapters per episode.
Yeah, but chapter by chapter of the entire Dune series.
All six books.
Now that I think about it, that's kind of amazing.
It is. It's really, I'm very proud of it. Yeah. Actually, I really love our deep dives.
All right, listeners. I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
I'll hit the music and I'll tell you what I think.
This movie's incredible.
Okay. I can't wait to see it. You've got me. I was excited. Now you've got me very excited.
How about after the music? I'll say a few things without talking about how they did them. Just things that were great.
What I want to have happen after the music is All Bets Are Off.
Okay.
You can spoil anything from this movie, from the book series.
I'll still defer to you for if you want to stop me before I say too much.
Okay, so listeners, after the music, anything could happen.
For example,
I specifically want to talk about the book series, though.
Okay.
Okay.
So a couple things. Like, for example, I haven't said anything about how they do Aaliyah in this movie.
Right.
I don't know if you want me to talk about that or not.
No, let's not talk about it.
Okay.
We could talk about it after I see it.
A few things without going into details. Fade Rautha. Very good. Like, Austin Butler is going to be a highlight. the gladiator scene on Giti Prime is very, very cool, especially visually.
I can't remember which. Batista wasn't in the first movie, was he?
He was.
Was he? I can't really.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it for a while.
Beast Raban.
But
Fade Rautha.
So he's
not.
Got a big part in.
Raban has a larger part, okay. But Fade Rautha is the okay. highlight. Christopher Walken as the Emperor.
Oh, yeah.
He's not in it a ton, but he's a good presence where he is.
You can just tell me. You had made some guesses off the air to me about who you thought some actors were going to be playing. I don't know if we want to go into that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to? Is that worth mentioning or not really?
We talked about Anya Taylor-Joy, who was a surprise announcement just a couple weeks ago that she was in the movie, and Tim Blake Nelson. So Tim Blake Nelson, I'll say, was not in the movie. So I think his part was cut. I'm okay. pretty sure he was playing Count Fenring. He's not in the movie.
Okay.
And unfortunately, neither is Thuthir Howitt. You don't get any of Howitt in this part of the movie. So Margot Fenring, played by Leah Seydoux of No Time to Die and Spectre, Madeline Swan, is in the movie. But they really, rather than bringing in Count Fenring, so it hasn't been confirmed that's who Tim Blake Nelson was playing, but based on his kind of mm-hmm. announcement, then subsequent disappearance, and Villeneuve has alluded to that Count Fenring was in the script and then was cut. So it's a pretty safe speculation. Anya Taylor-Joy is in the movie.
Is she who you thought she'd be?
Yes.
Is it worth... I mean, is that a spoiler? Does it matter? Can we just tell the people? We told them that all bets are off.
I'm not going to go into detail on it, but she does show up as Aaliyah in one of Paul's visions. And that's part of what makes me think Messiah's coming sooner, because they already have her.
Okay.
Like, she's got to be playing Aaliyah in Messiah. So, yeah, like... It would make more sense for them to just kind of age up Timothy Chalamet with makeup and everything. I don't think they're going to wait 5 years because Anya Taylor-Joy is the same age.
So you're saying, and listeners, you're in huge spoiler territories at this point, but Aaliyah is the unborn sister to Paul, obviously not played by this actress unless you're seeing a future vision. So you're saying we get a vision of the future in which Aaliyah is played by this actress.
You know how Paul was having visions of Chani in the first part?
Okay.
There's kind of a parallel where he's seen visions of some of Aaliyah in the future.
All right, so this is not my guess is going to be wrong. Then I was guessing that they might hint at Duncan continuing on in the series.
There's no hint of Duncan.
Okay.
There's no mention. Well, there might be a mention of him, but there's no talk about Messiah Duncan.
Okay.
In this series,
not Messiah Duncan, but at least in Dune Messiah. Duncan is back.
Yes.
I kind of thought that maybe that they would.
Nothing with that. So there's no, what Paul is seeing is a vision, but not a flash forward. It's not a prophetic thing. He's seen a representative vision of Aaliyah.
Wow.
Now,
that's cool.
What I don't want to talk about is how they handle Aaliyah in this movie.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it either.
It's going to be controversial, but I think it worked.
Okay. I mean, they have to make some changes from this mammoth book and series.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't make every... Well, I guess they could, but my first instinct is they can't split every book and take decades to finish.
Right, right.
I guess they technically could.
They could. No, I mean, it's similar to part one.
Messiah is shorter, though. That's the shortest one, right?
I think Messiah would be one book.
One movie.
Or one movie. But yeah, it's similar to part one where there's going to be some cuts that you're not going to like. And maybe there's a couple of things I didn't, there's really two changes I didn't care for. But the rest of it is understandable. Jessica has a little bit of an expanded role. I won't go into how or what she's up to, but I thought it worked. And I actually think it plays very well into her arc in Messiah, which is fairly limited, but I could see them, really building on that. I think they do a good job with Irulan paying homage to her chapter headings.
Yeah.
Like you see her recording her journal a lot. And also paying homage to her as a kind of getting into the Bene Gesserit machinations. Everything about this movie feels bigger. It's very similar to, how whether you prefer Fellowship of the Ring or the next two movies, there's no question that Two Towers and Return of the King take the scope of Fellowship of the Ring, which is fairly limited. And then they just blow up this world. This has a very similar feel to it. Of like, everything is just go, and it's going to be bigger, more exciting. It's a huge movie.
You know how people often think in trilogies, even though we know this book series is more than three?
Yeah.
Could they do a Dune Part 3? Maybe not even call it Dune Messiah. And I'm just trying to think of how Messiah ends. Can you see a way that they end the story there?
Very much so.
And maybe adapt some things a little bit, change it up a little bit, and now you've told the full story of Paul.
Yeah. I mean, Dune, that's the thing about the first three books. First three books, you can end the story at any point. Mm. You know, so Messiah ends with Paul walking off into the desert. That's a perfect ending for his character. Like, you can just leave it there.
So you're saying, do you feel like the film would be satisfying if that's where it wraps up?
I mean, it's a very tragic ending, but that's tonally part of what they've set up, is that you do come away with this. Mm. The ending of this movie doesn't feel like a triumph. It feels tragic for Paul. And it's really, really well done how they get there. That's where part of where this feels like this whole 5-hour thing is, like, going from Paul's first visions of the jihad to seeing it in its fulfillment is a pretty spectacular arc.
Yeah. All right. Wow. I mean, like I said, I was interested in seeing it, and now I feel
you gotta go see it. It's
I mean, I was going to see it. I just didn't have time to see it at the previous show, so I'll see it sometime, probably this weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's worth abandoning your family
for 3 hours. All right, should we wrap it up?
Let's do it.
Listeners, I hope you enjoy seeing it this weekend. I'll be joining you somewhere in the world, but for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Goodbye. One last thing.
Okay.
Lest you had any doubts, you not only hear the name Muad'Dib, but Usul too.
Okay.
They get both of those.
Nice.